I want to put these scripture verses up. We're going through the Gospel of John in our Bible lessons, and I want to put this scripture verse up because turn around there, everybody, and look, and look, there's Life in Christ Church's money box. Y'all see that money box? Now, we don't do anything to promote that, do we? Except for today, because of today. So I'm going to give you this verse. Remember when Jesus, right before he was crucified, Mary came and poured some real expensive oil on him, and he told them that it was for his burial. Remember that? And some of the disciples got mad about it. Well, we found out in John's gospel, the person that got mad about it the most was a fellow by the name of Judas Iscariot. Remember that? So I thought this would be fun since we're going through the Gospel of John anyway. Let's throw this in here. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, it's fascinating that John's the only one that mentions who his dad is. Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Sounds pretty good, don't it? Sounds real sanctimonious, right? Sounds real political. Sounds like something you'd hear in Washington, D.C., wouldn't it? Doesn't it? Sounds like the Inflation Reduction Act. Can I get an amen? I mean, all you got to do is call something, and then I guess that's what it is. If I had time, and I was going to put something else up, but I don't want to get too political. I do want to stay focused on the word. But it sounded good. He said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Man, one of Jesus' 12 apostles was a thief. And listen to this, and had the money box. Everybody say that. And had the money box. Well, we got a money box here, right? And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Boy, I tell you what, that's one of the things that if I ever get the courage, it's one of the things I'm going to ask Jesus, if I ever get the courage, and probably I'll never get the courage because, you know, who am I to ask him anything? But I would like to know, Lord, you let a thief be in charge of your money box. So I said all that to tell you that here's what we did from our money box last week. How'd you like that little segue? This is what we did from our money box last week, and this is where we gave. Now, we had already given $2,000 to Andrew Womack's ministry. They've started building student housing, and we gave to that. We've already given $500 prior to that to CareNet because we want to let everybody know we're pro-life, right? And then so this past week, we gave $1,000 to Samaritan's Purse. Normally, the $1,000 that we've been giving to Samaritan's Purse, we've been sending to Ukraine. We all decided that this month we would send it to the flood victims in eastern Kentucky. Now, I'm not from eastern Kentucky. I'm from a higher class area. I'm from central Kentucky, central. See, we're way smarter. I'm just joking. Now, there is some poverty in that area. But anyway, so we gave $1,000 to Samaritan's Purse for the flood victims in eastern Kentucky. Some of y'all don't know this gentleman, but it's Harry Jackson's ministry who has an amazing work going on in the country of Africa. And so we decided to, halfway through the year here, we decided to go ahead and send him $1,000. And then, of course, this one here, I'm just going to tell you straight up, this one here, the TV commercials get me. I'm hoping it's a viable thing because we try to avoid giving to people. We don't give to the Red Cross and things like that. We try to avoid giving to people where if you give a dollar, 40% of it is for administrative stuff. We try to avoid that. So I'm trusting that, you know, based on these commercials, we gave $600 to Tunnels for Tire. So just in the month of August so far, y'all are really going to challenge me here, but I believe that's $5,100 has gone out from this ministry to help people in need. So give yourself a round of applause. And for the year through this last offering, for the year, we've gave away $35,500. Amen. So that's just a blessing. And so I just want everybody to know, so far, you can trust the money box and the people that are taking the money out of the money box. So far, okay? All right, we are going to continue our discussion into the Gospel of John. And so our title is Discovering Jesus Through the Gospel of John. Some of y'all, a lot of y'all have been following us on Facebook, and we went through all the 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. How many of you know that, realize that, had fun with it? So here's my question. Coco Rupsiman's already asked me if we're going to do another book. And so I'm up to doing another book. I'm thinking about doing the book of Acts. There's 28 chapters in it. And so every day we'll give you a verse and discuss a little bit about it. I think one of the reasons why Coco likes it is it keeps them reading the Bible as well. There's another opportunity for you to learn some circle verses. How many of you know that could possibly be the theme today, Robert? Circle verses. I'm thinking you're going to go to work tomorrow and you're going to say circle verses. But anyway, we're going to give you a few circle verses today, but I think we'll do it. I'm going to take a little time away from it, kind of give everybody a little space, but we'll get back going on the book of Acts. I think people, you enjoy that, don't you? I'm trying to, Linda, you look forward, don't you? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Come on. All right, so we'll do that later. So anyway, what we've been doing is we've been just putting on the website Discovering Jesus Through the Gospel of John, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, but it'll probably end up being like part 79. And so I'm thinking we might ought to come up with a few titles. And so today we're going to call this one today, Jordan, Fully God and Fully Man. What an amazing thing. And I am not going to stand up here and pretend that I have that all understood. And no flesh person, no person in human flesh is going to be able to say that they have that completely understood. All I can tell you is that's what the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was fully God and fully man. So our verse today, we started John's gospel. Beverly, can I pick on you a minute? Too late now, isn't it? We started John's gospel. And what was our go-to verse when we first started the Gospel of John? What was the go-to verse I put up every Sunday? Amen, it'll be ingrained. And I'm not going to put it up because if I put it up, I'll teach on that one and I won't get any further. But we're going to move away from that and we're going to use this verse as our springboard verse, John 1:14. John 1:14, and I've tried to be a little funny, but I would let you know. And by the way, in case anybody doesn't understand, Teresa is sitting here on the front row looking beautiful as always with a pen, okay? And so when we say circle verse, what we mean is we would like for you to take your pen, and I know with technology today, you don't even have to bring your Bible to church. I've got it all up here on the screen for you. But in your own personal time, whenever you're by yourself or whatever with your Bible, what we mean is for you to take your pen and circle that verse. And that's why we would get the phrase circle verse. So Therese, why don't you demonstrate that by circling John 1:14. And so this would be what I would call a circle verse. This is one of those verses that, the other reason why I'm doing this, is this would be another verse that really, there's no debating it. It is what it is. There are some scriptures that we could debate, but this is what it is. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. In other words, I told you last week, John, they saw him. They touched him. They handled him. And the Word, if you go back to John 1:1, and we won't because of time, because if I get on these verses, I won't leave them. The Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So I believe that I'm totally fine if I substitute the word God for word there and say, and God became flesh and dwelt among us. See, that's what makes Christianity unique. That's why Christianity is not a religion. That's why Christianity is about God coming to man, not man going to God. Anything man does towards God, God can't accept it because our righteousness is as filthy rags. So he had to come for us. Not, listen, John says it like this. Not that we love God, because in our flesh we don't. We don't. We were watching some TV programs yesterday. We pulled out one of the old Tom Cruise's movies. I guess in honor of Top Gun Maverick, I guess. I don't know. And anyway, we watched Top Gun Fallout. And he's got... Mission Impossible. Dun, 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 dun. Mission Impossible. Anyway, he's got 15 minutes at the end of the movie to save the world. And it takes an hour and a half for that 15 minutes to... How many of you know? Anyway, in the middle of those movies, I guess there was some commercials. And I'm telling you, the things they're advertising and the shows they're promoting are just god-awful, demon-possessed stuff. People killing people and demonic faces and things like that. But that's because in this same gospel, you find out that Jesus, the Lord, reveals to us that God knew what was in man. And he had to come and take what was in man and put what he needed to have in man, and that was himself. Y'all see that? Amen. See, John says not that we love God, but that he loved us. See? There's nothing in us that qualifies us to be able to be worthy of God, so God had to come and make us worthy by what he did for us. So the Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, that's beautiful. See, again, you can never go wrong if you say, you know, I know people do this. I know I've been doing this for many, many years, and I know people think the Bible's overwhelming and it's confusing and it's got contradictions in it, and some of it I just don't understand. But listen, if you can just get over here to John chapter 1 and just see that for yourself, that's enough. Don't run away from it. Embrace that. God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and he's full of grace and truth. So because of how I am and what I am, I'm going to take us immediately over to chapter 4. We're going to get all the way to John chapter 4, and we're going to start discussing the story of Jesus encountering a woman at the well of Samaria. Okay? We've already done a little bit out of chapter 2. We've already done quite a bit out of chapter 3. We told you about the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus. Remember that you must be born again. We didn't even quote the golden text of the Bible, which is John 3:16, but I've put that up plenty of times. And then we told you about John the Baptist and gave you a little background about him and how he said that he must increase, Jesus must increase, and he must decrease. Remember that? Remember? So his fame becomes greater than John the Baptist. And so people begin to come to him and begin to want to be ministered by him. And so he begins his ministry, and he's beginning his ministry on foot. How many of you know they didn't have Teslas back then? Or electric charging stations, or, you know, that old fossil fuel stuff that is ruining the world. Oh, my gosh. So he had to go, whenever they went somewhere, they went by foot. And so he gets to Samaria, and he got to Samaria, and we did this. Mr. James Taylor, my great friend, who had a birthday last week. Two of my board members had birthdays last week, James Taylor and Don Federico. Don's out partying, and James is in church. Advantage James. Anyway, we did the research on it one time. Remember, James, I don't know if you remember, we did the research and we calculated that the amount of distance that Jesus had walked that day was 30 miles. Now, you know what I did yesterday? Dewey, you'll find that I do this still. I tell people about what I do. You know what I did yesterday? I walked 7 miles. I went from my house somewhere near the country club and all the way back in a circle, and it was 7 miles. And I got to tell you, my feet hurt. Pete, my feet hurt, right? But he walked 30 miles. Remember, what's the sermon title? Fully God and fully man. The Word was made flesh. The Word became a man. The Word became a man, and he walked 30 miles to get to Samaria. And now look what the Word of God tells us. Now, Jacob's well was there. Now, listen to this. And these are some of the greatest words in the Bible, and people will miss it. They'll miss it. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey. Well, he walked 30 miles. He was clothed in flesh, just like we are. So, you know, if I said to him yesterday, Lord, you just don't know how I feel. I walked 7 miles. You know what he'd say to me? Yes, I do. No, that was the point of it. The point of it is he had to get down and be in the middle of us to be able to understand what it was we dealt with on some level. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, he had to be exactly like the first Adam. And he was. He'd walked 30 miles. And so because he'd walked 30 miles, because he was tired or wearied, I better use that word wearied, because I can't say the word tired. He was wearied from his journey. He sat thus by the well. So in other words, after he got through walking, he sat down. That's one thing. Fully God and fully man. This is a discovery about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about all the people in our society that don't know a thing in the world about Jesus except to use his name in vain. It's amazing how society will have his name on their lips when they have to have something profane to say. I was playing golf with a guy the other day, and every word out of his mouth was J.C. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they're blaspheming. They're blaspheming their Creator, who humbled himself so much that he became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, let's get this verse in. I'm going to do it anyway because, and I think it's like Philippians 2:4. Let's put this verse in. We got to come back. We're not going to leave the woman at the well of Samaria. We're going to come back, but let's put this in. Yeah, start at verse 5. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. Watch this. Let this mind, you know, one of the reasons why we're doing this is we want people to get acquainted with Jesus, but also we want you to start having a relationship with him, with God. Having a relationship with God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now listen, follow this. This is in the Bible. Don't run away from it. Verse 6, watch this. Who, being in the form of God, this is talking about Jesus now, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Does that line up with John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, who being in the form of God, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. That's amazing. That's amazing. The Creator of all things, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of everything you can see, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, or taking the form of a man, or taking the form of flesh, and coming in the likeness of men. God rewarded him for doing it, though. Verse 8, God rewarded him for doing it, because God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Oh, my Lord, we need to all just stand up and worship Jesus right now. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Man, a brutal way to die. Verse 9. I wasn't going to go here, but you have to. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. And remember, people on the radio and on the internet get to hear this. And some of y'all are driving in your car on your way to church. Some of you are driving to the grocery store. I pray the Holy Spirit's ministering to your heart today. I pray some of you were just tuning in to hear Brad Paisley. But you're hearing this instead. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Let's finish it. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Next one. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Man, that's worth getting out of bed and coming just to hear those verses right there. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm going to come back to something I said last week and remind you of something. How many of you understand and know me well enough to know that I'm not a mechanic? Am I right? If you ask me to change oil in your car, good luck. First thing I'd have to ask you is, where's the oil? How many of you realize that? How many of you know I don't have any skills at doing woodworking or... I guess I could do some landscaping. I just don't want to. I'd rather pay somebody to. But anyway, I guess when it comes to just things that a lot of men take pride in, I'm not even good at it. Right? I know Brian, he likes to hook up his trailer and fix stuff and act like he knows what he's doing. At least I'm honest enough to admit I can't do it. Teresa, get the trailer hooked up and get this thing fixed. But listen to me now. Listen very carefully. I'm going somewhere with this. And I was telling Teresa this. From as long as I can remember, even when I was a sinner, didn't know Jesus, I always had a love for words. In high school, English classes, you know, where you'd have to read a book and tell people what you thought the book was about, they'd always come to Mark and say, Mark, what was it about? And I'd always tell them. So everybody has something they can do. Everybody. I can't fix your car, but I can do your taxes. Not for free, but I can do it. But everybody has something they can do. And I've always, God gifted in me the ability to be able to read something and see something in what I've read. And the longer I live and the more I minister to people, and I don't want anybody to get offended by this, not everybody seems to have that. So it's worth coming just to be able to listen to somebody that can comprehend these verses and help you see them better. I'm looking for some amens on that. And I'm telling you, I see nobody sees the full extent of this, but I see the enormity of what's being said here. That God humbled himself and died on a cross for us and became our substitute so that we could become children of God. And because he did that, God glorified him. And that no other name, nothing in all of creation compares to the name of Jesus. And that heaven was opened in the book of Hebrews. And they welcomed him back into heaven after he'd made this sacrifice. And all the angels bowed prostrate before him. And God looks at him and calls him God and says, your throne is forever and ever. Your scepter is a scepter of righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And therefore I'm exalting you above any other thing. And then he told him, he said, come and sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool. Or until your enemies become your footstool. Something like that. Okay, so forgive me, I can't completely understand everything, Pete. Every now and then you got to show that you're flawed. But anyway, you see that? See? And that's why when I'm around people that read these verses and they don't seem to have any emotion and it doesn't seem to do anything for them, I'm like, what's wrong? I want to be like that one teacher I had that would go by and tap you on the head. Wake up. I was raised in a Catholic school and I had some nuns that would beat you. Can I get an amen? Y'all see that? So here's this person over in John who's wearied from the journey. That's number one. Go back over there, Jordan. And verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Now, I'm going to bring up something because I'm looking around and we don't have kids here that mom and dad might have to go home and explain something later. Although I'm sure I've preached enough stuff y'all have had to go home and explain later. And say, don't worry about it, that's just Mark. But I'm going to bring something up here. And I want to tell you that I brought this up one time in a Wednesday. We used to have Wednesday night Bible studies in church. And I brought this up and a lady got all over me. just absolutely got all over me, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Let me finish this first. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And remember now, Jesus has walked how many miles? 30. I walked 7. Let me ask you a question. I walked 7 yesterday, averaging about 15 and a half minutes per mile walking, just walking with my shoes, my tennis shoes. What's the first thing I went and did when I got home in the house? I got me a drink. Who said take your shoes off? I did that too. But they don't like me to take my shoes off in the house because, you know. What's the first thing I did? I went to the refrigerator and got me some water because I was thirsty. So after walking 30 miles, is he fully God and fully man? Is he fully God and fully man? After walking 30 miles, what's he asked the woman for? Drink of water. I need a drink. Water, H2O. Now, I want to put a verse up, and then I want to come back and talk about this lady, and I want to tell you how this one woman got all over me about something, but I'm not going back away from what I'm going to bring up. You know what I'm going to talk about, I think. Maybe you don't. But anyway, go to Hebrews 4:15. Watch this now. Let me get over here. So is he fully God and fully man? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Catch this? Listen to this. This is another one of these verses that it's worth hearing somebody expound on it. But was in all points tempted as we are, listen to this, yet without sin. So God became flesh and dealt with every temptation we deal with, and he never sinned. Again, that's another reason to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. But here's what I want you to see. He was tempted in all points as we are, and he didn't sin. So I got a bunch of guys out here. Good-looking guys, by the way. Some of them retired. What's the greatest temptations that's out there? For me, I would say, well, how do I say this without telling on myself? Well, let me ask you this. Is one of the temptations that men, and I think women too, have to deal with is stuff in the area of sex? Jazz, cover your ears up. Is that a temptation we have to deal with? Can all the men be honest about it? So would Jesus, if he was tempted in all points as we were, would that have been something he'd have had to dealt with? Do you think that there weren't opportunities for him to go that direction if he chose? Because after all, he's healing the sick, raising the dead, he's preaching the mighty word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's attractive to women. Are you with me? So anyway, this woman shows up. That's all I want to say about it. This woman shows up, back to John 4, and the woman that shows up, we find this out about her. We find out that she's been married 5 times. Now, you know, I it's funny how the Lord can do some things. You know, I played golf with a guy Friday that had been married 5 times. And you know, he acted better on the golf course than I did. That rascal. But it's fascinating. It's, you know, I was thinking about this. It would be hard to be married 5 times. There, you know, this seemed like it'd be a whole lot of things in between there, right? Y'all listening to me? But here's what we find out. And Jesus got this by a word of knowledge. We find out that this woman has been married 5 times. And then we find out that the person that she's with now is not her husband. So she gave up on marriage and just went to shacking. Right? Are you listening? So my point is, what I brought up, I'm just going to throw this out there and then we're going to go on. That Wednesday night, what I brought up was, could this have been somebody that the devil sent Jesus' way to try to tempt him sexually? And she lost her mind over it. She said, oh God, don't you ever say that. Don't you do that. That's not right. No, it wouldn't be possible. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute now. If he was tempted in all points as we are, that would have to be something he had to deal with and say no to. Can I get an amen? And every man at some point in their life, you probably are going to have to be tempted by something like that and say no to it. And not everybody says no. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it is something that you should try to avoid at all costs. Can I get an amen from all the ladies? So anyway, whether she had any bad intentions or not, Jesus asked her for a drink. Verse 8, I'm going to bring this up and then we're going to get into the rest of it. This is another verse that I think is important. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So stay with me now. Jesus is there for a couple of points here. He's there all by himself. And he's there with a woman who's been married 5 times, and the person she's now with is not her husband. So it's a possibility that could have been the motivation for the devil sending that woman to get some water. But it don't make any difference, because it turns out to be a glorious encounter between God and the woman. And a revival breaks out in Samaria because of what happens between, because of what happens in the conversation he has with the lady. Can I get an amen? But do you think that lady really should have got that mad about what I said? No. No. If you're tempted in all points as we are, and that's one of the temptations I deal with, and it had to be a temptation he had to deal with. And if you're going to get tempted by something, in order for it to qualify as a temptation, it has to be something you're actually tempted by. See, if somebody told me, Mark, I want you to go this tonight and spend all... What's a local watering hole in town? Anybody? What's a local watering hole? If Donnie was here, he could tell us, but... do we still have a... Oh, they just opened one, didn't they? But didn't... Huh? But didn't they just open a new thing called Docks? The watering hole. And again, no judgment on that. I'm just saying... I'm just trying to give you a point here. If somebody said to me, Mark, I want you to go tonight and spend all 4 or 5 hours at Doc's watering hole sitting at the bar, that's not a temptation for me. Not that I'm better than anybody that's at the bar, but that's just not something that would tempt me. But if, oh, where do I go here without getting in trouble? If I saw on TV that they were going to have a special on the latest Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and you could turn the TV dial to watch it, that could be a temptation. So again, all I'm trying to point out to you is, for something to be, for you to be tempted by something, it has to be something you'd be interested in. Okay? All right. Enough on that. Here we go. So that's one point. Here's the other point. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. See, Jesus didn't always multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish to keep everybody fed. He also knew what it's like to live in the natural world. And so he knew that his disciples, for them to eat, they had to buy groceries. Again, you can't go to the store and on your way to the store say, Lord, you just don't know what it's like. Milk's gone out the roof. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to have my pork chops like I used to. He'll say, yeah, I understand. I had to feed that bunch I was with. To me, it helps me so much to know that he can relate to me on any level that I need to be related to. You can't play that on Jesus. You can't say you don't know what it's like. He does know what it's like. And the beautiful thing about it is that he won for us. He didn't have to win for himself. He was a winner before he got here, and he was a winner when he left. Everything he did for us. Y'all see that? He went into the city. Or they went into the city to buy food. So the Bible, and I already gave you this verse. I want to go back to it because I don't know if I'm going to actually get to the story of the conversation, because I want to lay this theme out for you. So I already put Hebrews 4:15 up, but let's put it up one more time to remind ourselves of this. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, right? but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Got it? Here's what it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. And did I tell you that John 1:14 is a circle verse? Huh? I'm going to give you another circle verse in Hebrews 2, right here. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood. See, he didn't have flesh and blood until he became flesh. You're going to find out that what he tells the woman at the well of Samaria is that God is a spirit. That's what he's going to tell her. See? God, who is a spirit, was planted in the womb of Mary so that he could become flesh covered. Okay? Because the people that were in trouble had flesh and blood. So when they whipped Jesus, he bled. When they put that crown of thorns on his head, he bled. Real blood. In fact, when you read John's gospel and you get to the end there, you'll find out that he bled so much that he ran out of blood. Isn't that amazing? Holy, glorious, sinless blood. But he had to become a partaker of flesh and blood because partakers of flesh and blood are who messed it up. God turned over everything he made. God, who is a spirit, turned over everything he made to flesh and blood, people. Are you listening to me? And the animals have blood. Do you remember after Adam and Eve sinned, he killed an animal to give them some clothing, and those animals bleed. So it says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. That through death, listen to this now, oh man, what a circle verse. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. You see, friends, the reason why this thing got all fouled up was because a tempter showed up in the garden in the form of a snake. That tempter, that thief, that murderer, that liar was Lucifer, an archangel, who saw everything that God had created and saw that God, see, angels were flabbergasted by the whole process. They saw everything that God had created, and then they saw God do something that they could not comprehend. The angels could not comprehend it. He turned it over to flesh and blood. See, he turned it over to flesh and blood. He would come down and talk to them in the cool of the day, but he didn't come in flesh and blood form. He just came down and talked to them. And don't you like this? He came down and talked to them in the cool of the day. When it was siesta time. But that rotten snake. And this is where this was all birthed. See, people say God created everything. No, he didn't. Jesus said in John 8:44 that the devil is the father or the creator of lies. And so in the Garden of Eden, this is where these terrible things known as envy and lust and greed and lying and jealousy were manifested through the snake, because he saw that God had turned over all that he had made to his man Adam. And that's what the devil wanted. He wanted that authority and that power. And so Adam and Eve and mankind were the people that God intended to be in charge and to be the God of the earth and to subdue it and to control it and to take care of it. But the devil, through deception, through lying, stole it. And listen to me now, and listen to me by radio and internet, and if you can't see this, if you don't understand this, it's because the devil's deceived you. He became the God of this world. And that's why the world's in the mess it's in. That's why our country's in the mess it's in. That's why our politicians and the people that are in charge of us, that's why they they act the way they act and do what they do because they're led by him. They're not led by God. Oh, I got to put it up. It's one of my famous verses I put up all the time. 1 John 5:19. Come, we're going to come back here. You got to see this. You got to understand this. You got to know this. And listen, this is pretty much foreign to the mainstream Christian church. I've had people come here and tell me that they spent their entire life in church and nobody ever told them about the devil. And somebody said, well, you spend too much time talking about him. I wish I didn't have to spend that much time talking about him because he's a defeated foe. But if you don't tell people what the cause of the problem is, they'll blame it on God and then you'll get me all mad. Because I just can't. It's just like if somebody badmouths Teresa, you're going to get me mad. Amen? Now, you're free to badmouth my kids if you want to, but not Teresa. 1 John 5:19. This is what happened. We know that we are of God. Do y'all know that? Do y'all need to say this with me? Is this another circle verse? Is this another circle verse? Would this be an easy verse to memorize? Oh, for goodness sakes, can you stop, Mark? Learn it for me. We know that we are of God. Say that. We know that we are of God. Are you of God because you're spectacular, because you're white person, or you're a wealthy person, or you raised in the right family? Is that why you're of God? Are you of God because you go to church on Sunday? Are you of God because you put money, every Christmas, man, you just make sure you put $10 in that Salvation Army bucket. That'd make you. Is that why? No. You're of God because you've received Jesus. Remember? As many as received him. We know that we are of God. All right. And say these two words. How about more than just Teresa? And the... You know what song me and Brian don't like, don't you? You know what song we will never sing at Life in Christ Church, don't you? Listen, don't ever get anybody strumming a guitar and saying, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world. No, he don't. If he did, things would be really cool. We wouldn't have to deal with all the misery we're dealing with now. And someday he will be in charge of everything. And when that day comes, it'll be a glorious day. But that day has not come. And that day won't come until the Antichrist is gone. Are you listening to me? Now listen, I'm giving you the bad part of it because for those of us that know we're of God, he can't hurt us unless we let him. Now, there's some things that he does we may not be able to stop because he may do it through people and we can't control people's free will, but we can always make a decision to do what God says instead of what the devil says. Greater, I believe I know this, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And that's the reason why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when he wrote that, he wrote it from a prison cell in Philippi. So it wasn't about a prosperity thing or, you know, I'm going to be able to overcome the downward turn in the stock market. It was about the fact that no matter what goes on, I can overcome it. Because I know I'm of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the... What's his title? There's going to be a lot of ministers. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to have to stand before God and they're going to have to explain to them why they didn't teach their people who the real problem was. So now you'll see in verse 14, he became flesh and blood. Hebrews 2:14, my time's got away from me already. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Listen to this and get a hold of this. See this. I love this. That through death he might destroy. Man, I mean, he obliterated him. He obliterated him. That's why he's just he walks about as a roaring lion, because he really has had all of his power stripped from him. The only thing he's got on Christians is deception. Now, he's got a bunch on non-Christians. But on Christians, all he's got is deception, because through death, because Jesus became a partaker of flesh and blood, through death he destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. That's another reason, see, that's another reason why the devil don't want you getting in that book. Because it's in that book you'll find the truth that'll set you free. See, it's not truth that sets you free. America's had these books all over the place for years. It's not truth that sets you free. It's truth you know that sets you free. Amen? That's why this is, it's called, and this is how I say it, it's called the greatest story ever told. Remember that? How many of you have ever heard that? Man, they've had some awful movies with that title. Some awful actors. Jesus hanging on a cross, you know, like it's Sunday afternoon. You know. But I mean, it's called the greatest story ever told. But I like to say it like this. It's probably the greatest story never heard. Because when you figure it out, when you begin to comprehend that God himself saw what condition we had gotten ourselves into, that God himself, and the Bible says it was all motivated by love. But God, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, it was all motivated by God's love for humanity. He could have wiped us out or started over. Sure, he could have. But we were made for his glory. We were made for him. And so because of motivated by love, he comes and becomes flesh and blood and conquers the adversary for us. He told him, he said, I have the keys of hell and death. Amen? Oh, man. Oh, man. I've come so far about this. So this is about walking in that and believing that and living in that and understanding that in the world you'll have tribulation. In the world, things are not going to go the way we would like them to go, because the whole world's under the sway of the devil. And I don't know when his lease is up. I don't know when it's going to be over. I know a lot of us Christians are thinking, man, it's got to be close. The fellow that I played golf with that's been married 5 times, he told me he was a believer, and I believe him. And you know what he wanted to talk about? The tribulation. They always want to talk about the tribulation. And he said, what do you think? And I said, I think that I hope Jesus comes today. Amen. Y'all see that? Listen to that. Look at that. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and let's go ahead and stand up. Now, well, I'll stop. Verse 15, let's read that. And release. Look at here, y'all. Look at here. How many of you like that word, release? And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise God. You know, I don't really have that verse completely understood the way it should be. But I mean, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Listen, if you're listening by radio or internet, I hope I've done a semi-decent job of representing Jesus to you this morning. I hope you've been able to see that we've presented to you God, that God actually was manifested in the flesh, and that God actually went on the cross and then went into hell and conquered the devil for us, and that we don't have to be subjected to him anymore. We're free. We're children of God. We're in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. We've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith in what Jesus did for us. I hope you've seen that. I hope you've gained an understanding of Jesus and why he's the only way to the Father. He's not some way, he's the way, because he is God, and his blood was the only blood that was not contaminated by sin. And whoever calls on his name will be saved. So if you've never done that, let's do it together right now. Just do this with me. Say, Dear God, I've heard about Jesus, and I want to receive him. I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that he died on a cross for my sins, and that he rose from the dead for my justification. By faith, I can now say, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you're listening by radio and internet and you're a believer and you know Jesus, you know, we've all messed up. Every single one of us is a Christian. Every one of us is messed up. But you know you're a believer, but the Holy Spirit's been able to use what I've said to get you to start thinking, you know what, I don't have to take everything that's coming down the pike. And you can start rising up and saying, you know what, devil? Jesus defeated you. I couldn't defeat you, but he did. He did. He defeated you. He not only defeated you, he destroyed you. So you take this sickness, and in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this sickness out of my body. I rebuke this depression out of my mind. I rebuke this poverty out of my checkbook, because God is in me. Jesus won for me, and I'm going to walk in that. Not for my glory and not for my honor, but so that the world might know that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, man, I hope you got a hold of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Contact us and we'll give you some more circle verses. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.